important. But the wife of one of the crew members says patience is running out.
We've been waiting for an answer about our loved one, and they've been manipulating since day one.
In the final report, investigators suggest the flight may have been flown off course by someone other than the pilot. However, the ultimate fate of the plane is still not known. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
NBA star LeBron James said in a recent interview that President Trump is using sports to divide the country. You're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
A Turkish court has rejected an appeal by Pastor Andrew Brunson to be released from house arrest as his trial on terror and espionage charges continue. Brunson's attorney, Jay Sekulow, says President Trump is doing what he can to free Brunson.
I will tell you, the President of the United States has been incredibly engaged directly securing his release. And the President has told me on numerous occasions, and the family has been informed of this as well, that the President is not resting until our client, Andrew Brunson, pastor for 23 years in Turkey, is returned to the United States.
Cyber threats now represent a greater threat to the United States than physical threats. That's at least according to Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen. Today on Fox Business, Nielsen lays out each of the threats by country one by one.
They all have slightly different motives. What I would say is Russia is very active. They'll continue to be active. We've seen meddling in the election. We've seen meddling with our industrial control systems. We've seen meddling with routers. China has more of a long view. So they're looking more to understand our systems, particularly in government, understand who's who, get different access to systems. Iran, we see very active, and North Korea both, but generally in their regions. So they have the capability. We know they have the intent, but we don't see them quite as active towards us.
Nielsen also talked about the thing that concerns her the most.
The biggest threat in my mind is if we don't partner. So what we see the adversaries doing is they're crowdsourcing. So they're using bots, they're using paid influencers, they're using their governments.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com. At the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent. If you are a spouse or a USAA member, you can get a reward of between $350 and $6,000 when you buy or sell your next home. This also applies to the children and grandchildren of current USAA members. Call Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker to learn more. He can be reached at 908-238-0118. That's 908-238-0118.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. United American Patriots support our brave soldiers who, for wildly inappropriate reasons, have been jailed for murder by our military because they shot the enemy in combat. It's true. It's goofy, but it's true. If you find this beyond belief, check their website, unitedpatriots.org. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, we'll review the wonderful book about World War II, Coffin Corner Boys. Then we'll learn about some research being done to help keep us more healthy. And then we'll review the movie of the month. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. Troops, I welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show Carol Ofriet. She's written a marvelous book about a World War II bomber crew that was shot down behind enemy lines. It's the Coffin Corner Boys. Welcome to the show, Carol.
Well, thank you so very much, Denny.
Carol, I just finished reading your book, and it's fantastic. And it's a true story, well presented. Tell us about your background. How is it that you came to write this excellent book?
Well, I have always been fascinated with military history. I come from a family steeped in military history. My father was career Navy. My stepdad joined World War II the day after he graduated from law school and went to North Africa all the way up through Italy and came out the last day of the war. I have an uncle who was the primary line crew chief for General Claire Lee Chenault of the Flying Tigers in China. So lots of military in my background. I specialized in military history in college, and it's always just been something that's been near and dear to my heart. It's in the DNA.
Well, clearly it is, because the book is so well written, and like I said, it was a hard one to put down. But I need to start with a key question. As I said, I just finished the book. I have not gone back and looked at it again, which I normally do. But tell us the story. Where did the title, The Coffin Corner Boys, come from?
Okay, that's an interesting question. When I first started interviewing George Starks, who is still living, 94 years old, the pilot of the B-17, he kept talking about how the day that they were shot down, they had been assigned the Coffin Corner. And I said, well, what on earth is that, George? And so he showed me what the bomber box formations were as they flew on their bombing missions, and they would fly in groups. And there was a position, low squadron, low group, outside corner, the number six position. And it was very vulnerable. In fact, one of the most vulnerable positions in the entire formation. And the crews themselves, because that corner position was so vulnerable, began calling it, they nicknamed it, the Coffin Corner. And so, that morning that they got out on the line, that sure enough was the assignment that they had drawn as a new young crew. And he kept talking about the Coffin Corner when they were shot down. I said, George, that's what we have to call this book. You guys really were the Coffin Corner Boys.
Well, you know, now that you say that, I do know that that was the case, and it just, I missed it. And indeed, there's got to be somebody in the most vulnerable spot.
That's right. And oftentimes, Denny, they would give that spot to the younger crews, and their thinking was that they needed to keep the older, more experienced crews actually leading the formation. So, George, of course, at that time, when he received his pilot wings, he was only 19 years old, as were three other guys in that crew of 10. And he had just turned 20 when they were on this mission. So very, very young crew. In fact, the oldest guy on the crew was 27. They called him Poppy and Pappy. And so just young, young men to be doing what they were doing, to have the responsibility to do fly B-17 and go on those bombing missions.
Indeed. And therefore, this is their first time together as a crew. They'd had separate missions before.
Yes.
It's their first time as a crew, their first time as a crew doing a bombing mission. They get behind enemy lines, actually in occupied France.
Yes.
And get shot down.
Yes, yes. And you know what? We George never saw the German fighter pilot coming. The tail gunner thought he spotted him. Usually what these FW-190s, the German fighters would do. They would fly over the formation and then come up and under. And he shot out the number one engine on his left wing, on George's left wing. And the plane just felt a shudder, he said, at first. And then the next thing you know, that engine was flamed out, and the flames were then, the fire was, of course, rapidly going along that left wing and then up under the belly of the plane. And so he knew he had to pull out a formation, or he would have endangered, the other, because they hadn't dropped their bombs yet. He would have endangered the other planes flying in formation. So he had to pull out. And it was not only their first mission together, but it was their first jump out of a moving airplane. See, these B-17 crews trained in the classroom to jump, to parachute out, but they had never actually, any of them ever actually jumped out of a moving airplane. So it was their first mission together and their first and only jump out of an airplane.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
Yes. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. We're discussing the book Coffin Corner Boys. You know, I'm an Army guy, I'm a parachutist, and I know I have jumped out of planes, but the first time out was scary. And if that first time had been jumping out of my plane that had just got shot down,
exactly, just shot out from under you, and it's on fire, and I'm telling you, it was a scramble. And as you probably know, the B-17 has several hatches, and so depending on where you were, what your gunnery station was inside the plane or what your position was in the crew inside the plane, you jumped out of different hatches. But they all managed to get out. 25,000 feet is how high they were, very cold. Not a lot of oxygen, as you well know, being with your background. And you had to wait a long time to pull that ripcord to open your chute. And, of course, oftentimes when these guys were coming down out of these planes, the German fighters would come and try to shoot at them as they were coming down or fly close enough to them. And, again, you would know about this maneuver, fly close enough to them that it would suck the air out of their parachutes. And then, of course, they were, in a real mess then. But fortunately, all 10 of them were able to come down, some of them very hard. In fact, George fractured his foot and had shrapnel in his left thigh when he landed.
You know, we've had a wonderful time talking. We haven't even got to the bulk of the book yet, which is how each of those men dealt with being an enemy terrorist. Some of them were captured. Some of them found their way to Switzerland or Spain. Some of them alone, usually with the help eventually of the French underground.
Exactly.
It's an amazing story of each of those men.
It is. Four of them were captured and taken into the Stalag Luft, three into one of the officers' camps. You know, the Germans separated the officers and the enlisted guys in different camps. So there were three officers that were taken into one camp. In fact, they wound up in the camp that just the day before had been the great escape of, movie history and movie fame. And then the enlisted, went up to one of the most dire of all of the German POW camps. It was up on the Baltic Sea, and it was a terrible situation there. Two were able to finally hook up with French underground and walked through the Pyrenees to freedom into Spain. Three of them hooked up and walked into Switzerland, and George, because he was a pilot and the last one out, was by himself and walked 300 miles with the help of just some incredibly brave, just normal French men, women, and some children, in fact, helped him. And finally, he was able to hook up with the French underground and made his way into Switzerland. But just one incredible close call, and if you can call it an adventure, one incredible close call after another for all of them, really.
It really was, and it's wonderfully presented. This is one of the best books I've read in 10 years. Carol, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. Thank you for that great book. Folks, we're going to give away a copy of this book at the end of the show.
Well, let me thank you right now for your service to our great country. And you guys don't hear that enough from us, but I'm able to write this book because you do what you've done. So thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am. I presume the book is available on Amazon and other places?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and it's available in hardback and also Kindle. And there's also an audio version of it that's just really terrific.
The Coffin Corner Boys. Thank you again, Carol. I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Next up, we'll look at some research being done to help us live healthier lives in the future. Then we'll review the movie of the month. You've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Hit the deck right now and rest. The starting position for the push-up is called the front-leaning rest. Get into the front-leaning rest position and think patriotic thoughts and stay there till I return. I want you leaning me. As the leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries around the world, Spartan Nash is proud to work with the Defense Commissary Agency to be the exclusive supplier of Freedom Choice and home-based products to our commissary patrons around the world.
These brands allow our military service members, veterans, and their families to stretch their commissary benefit, offering you the quality you expect and the savings you deserve. Through Freedom's Choice and Homebase, we're serving our best.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coria with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Next time you upgrade to a new cell phone, don't throw your old one away. If your old phone can hold a charge, you can stage this phone for emergency use in a home defense situation. Every cell phone, whether on contract or not, has the ability to call 911. Keep an old phone in the glove box of your car as well as your safe room just in case. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
She's such a beautiful little puppy. I mean, we walk around the block and neighbors always say, her hair is so beautiful.
Healthy and shiny and glossy.
DinoVite.com.
Fatty acids, omega-3s, and omega-6s are great for healthy skin and soft, shiny coats.
I would really recommend people starting their puppies on Dinovite before they get into what I would call the misery index. Bad skin, bad ears, bad breath.
Because if they're getting all their vitamins, micronutrients, microbials from the beginning, then you're not going to run into the problems associated with the allergies.
Grass, pollen, dust, dirt, fleas, ticks, you name it, and the itching and shedding down the road.
Our vitamins and enzymes replace the nutrients cooked out of most commercial dog foods.
Dynavite for life.
This is Ed Lukasevic.
And Cindy Lukasevic.
Inviting you and your pets to Dynavite.
859-428-1000.
DinoVite.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Caldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillow, and thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show today Dave Chelsea. Dave comes from a veteran family and is involved in research to help people get and stay healthy, which sounds like a very worthy goal to me. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Dave.
Thank you for having me. It's truly a pleasure.
Hey, Dave, you come from a military family. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, both my grandfathers served. I've had cousins that have served overseas as well, so I'm honored to be here speaking with your audience.
Well, you're part of the family, dude. You can't get away from it. Okay, you work for Spectrum Health in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is a big local medical organization. And you're involved with the All of Us Research Program, which Spectrum's playing in, but it's a national program. Talk us through that.
Yeah, you are correct. The All of Us Research Program is a National Institute of Health research program that is spreading across the country. It started in May of this year. It has the goal of enrolling 1 million individuals from all walks of life across all geographies to make sure that everyone has representation in a research program that will shape what becomes how we care for everybody. Historically, research has been largely focused in large urban academic environments, and it's not been intentional about spreading across geographies or socioeconomics. This program is very different because it recognizes that with 330 million people living in the United States, everybody has a different background. And medications that work for me may not work for a different ethnicity, a different gender, or a different age or a decade of life. So that's really unique for this program.
Well, it's my experience as a non-medical person that medicine is as much art as it is science, because we could be twin brothers and go through the same thing, and one medicine would work for you and not work for me. So the more research they can do to find out about this, I guess, diversity, is that a fair word? The better we're going to be able to treat everybody. Is that where we're going?
Yeah, absolutely. And that really is the aim here, is that we are different. We are unique. Law of averages is a great concept, but nobody wants to be considered a number or average. But in medicine, we're informed by previous research. Previous generations have come forward, and that's what we've learned. So through the iterative process of research, year over year, incrementally gaining, that's what research does. So we want everyone represented. We want all diversities, all geographies. When we start thinking about environments and cultural changes or different parts of the country, we need that representation, because where you live ultimately does determine what your quality of life may be. And it may not be based on income level. It may be culture. It may be environmental exposures.
Sure. You might eat a lot of fish because of where you live. I may eat a lot of rabbit because of where, I mean, and none of that is good or bad. It's just different.
Yep, absolutely. And that's a great part. That's a great analogy. You know, we've known food associations that promote health, but we also know excess. So you mentioned food or smoked fish. We know that has a higher incidence of gastric cancer for certain populations.
And if you can start sorting this out and doing it with as much accuracy as you can by having a very large database, we can do a better job of anticipating, predicting. Is that where we're going?
Yeah, absolutely. This program is part of the Precision Medicine Initiative, and you touched on one of the four P's when we talk about it, and that's predictive capacity. You know, you have to have participation from altruistic individuals that want to come forward, or volunteers. You want to be able to predict who is possibly at a higher risk for developing something, so that you can prescribe a very precise care plan for them to follow to try to either reduce that risk, mitigate it, or ultimately, if it's going to happen, there's not something today that we know enough about, draw those comparisons or causations so we better understand that entity or that ailment. Or these could be certain protectants that you and I may look identical on paper, but one of us is chronically ill and the other one's not. Until we do research, we can't answer those questions.
And there's no guarantee that you'll ever be able to, but if you don't try, for sure you won't. That's an important point. Because I was initially thought that you wanted to avoid people with illnesses or whatever, or nagging backaches or whatever kind of thing. But in reality, you really want – you need some of everybody, right?
We absolutely do. You know, as we say about averages, you know, we're all unique. But there, when you start thinking about 1 million individuals, there's going to be hundreds of other individuals that are very similar to us when we think about geography and age stratification and things like that. So you're absolutely correct. You know, the inclusion criteria for research usually is very specific to a disease or an ailment or a geography. This program is different. And, you know, anyone that is 18 years of age or older living in the United States, doesn't even have to be a citizen of the U.S., is eligible to participate in this program if they have an enrollment center near them. And that's where we're fortunate at Spectrum Health in Grand Rapids, Michigan, to be an enrollment center for the western half of Michigan.
That makes sense. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing being healthy with Dave Chelsea. So nationally, the program is looking for people to volunteer to what?
Yeah, it's a great question. The participant journey is what we always talk about. What's it look like to be in research? You know, I'll give a little historical context. Research, usually when people think about it, it's because they've succumbed to an illness, i.e. cancer or heart disease or diabetes, and there's a call to action. This program is different because to be a participant, you are volunteering of yourself to complete some online surveys. So you can do that at your own time online, and sign some online consents, which have some videos put in so that everybody can understand what we're asking. Then you come in and schedule with the local enrollment center. If you're in West Michigan, that'd be Spectrum Health, but there are 70 sites across the country doing this, to come in for a physical measure, so that's your height, your weight, your hip measurements, and blood pressure, like a basic physical, and then a blood draw and urine donation. After that, throughout the next year, we anticipate you'll be asked to do a couple additional surveys as they come out. but you don't have to come back into a site again. So that's the neat part about it. And then we, as your health system, one of those consents, will take what information we have about you and share that in a national database as well. That also has that information that you're self-reporting. So we get a greater depth of knowledge about individuals when they self-report over a period of time. And that will be the journey for 5 years, is that you'll go back and redo those surveys, if you will, online and update information in case you move or you have a life event or you experience illness or you age out of an illness that you were in when you joined the program.
You know, that makes sense, because I sort of like the idea that I don't want to, but I'm sure at some point I'll be back in with some kind of an emergency something, and to have the doctor say, yeah, I just read about this. We can do this and this and this. That sounds better than, wow, I'll start trying to figure out what to do. I mean, and that comes from research. It's rarely intuitive. It comes from research and education, right?
Yeah, everything we do in healthcare is metric driven, and metrics come out of bodies of research. And having large data sets shared across the country and shared across organizations to ensure that everybody is doing A the same way and B the same way to achieve C is really where research is best positioned to inform us, so that our next standard of care, our next way that we care for our patients or care for ourselves in 10 to 20 years is informed by things that happened prior.
Okay. This sounds like something that we, our nation, needs a lot of people to volunteer for. How would they do that? If some of the listeners want to at least look into it and or volunteer, what do they do? How do they do it?
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, it's really an online strategy. So they can go to a website that's joinallofus.org. And that's the National Institutes of Health's website. For the veterans out there, the Million Veterans Program is also a part of this and an awardee. And they're beginning enrollment in Palo Alto and Boston here very soon. And then they'll roll out across the country as well. Locally in West Michigan, they can go to spectrumhealth.org/allofus, or they can just go to Google if it's easier for them and look up All of Us NIH, and I'll be directed to the website as well.
So this is a basically for everybody program, but there's an aspect of it, which we'll open up shortly, that is veteran focused. Can veterans do both?
So veterans, depending on where they're at, their geography, ultimately, as a health system in West Michigan, we can connect with those living in West Michigan nationally. I would recommend that they contact the Veterans Association to get a better timeline for when it may be coming to a geography near them. You know, ultimately, this is a research program that's focused on the participant or the volunteer. So we want to make sure it comes to their market and represents them where they're at, not ask them to travel hours to participate. This is unique because it is participant-centered.
Okay. So this is something everybody can do. Well, everybody 18 and older.
Correct.
Can do. And let me encourage you to do that, to help keep our country safe in a little different way than we military folks normally think of it. Dave, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for what you're doing for the future, for the health of our country.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll review the movie of the month with Diane Raver. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, it's time for the one-arm push-ups. Start with a dozen, then stand at ease, but do stay in the area. I'll be right back.
We're Sound Income Strategies, and baby boomers who work with us know the secret to a great retirement is our middle name, income. At Sound Income Strategies, we transform high-fee, high-taxed retirement spend-down schemes into sustained retirement income. And we can do the same for you. For your free, no-obligation income kit,
call 866-913-1234. That's 866-913-1234.
It's time to get off the Wall Street roller coaster, stop the retirement spend down schemes, and join the income generation. For your free, no obligation income kit,
call 866-913-1234. That's 866-913-1234.
Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies LLC, an SEC registered investment advisory firm.
Sound Income Strategies, the secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
Call 866-913-1234.
USA Radio News.
Fires are continuing to burn in Northern California, with the most active fire just 90 miles north of San Francisco. The weather remains hot, dry, and windy, and firefighters are doing all they can to stop the flames from moving down the hills and towards people's homes. This woman lost everything she had in the fire.
I lost it all. Every bit of it. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
And another resident said this is all part of just living in California.
If you live in California, you need to be prepared. It's going to be a long, long summer. It's only July.
Molly Tibbetts went missing almost 2 weeks ago. Police are holding a press conference later this afternoon to discuss the case. Tibbetts' dad, Rob Tibbetts, says he's holding out hope that his daughter will be found safe.
There's a lot of conjecture and speculation, and we're going to just have to trust and have faith in the authorities and our law enforcement partners.
This is USA Radio News.
What's on your bucket list? Running a marathon, hiking to the top of a mountain, or maybe surfing? What if I told you you can accomplish all of it at any age? This is Wayne Allen Root, and I'd like to introduce you to somebody that's changed my life, made me feel years younger, maybe saved my life, my Cenogenics physician, Dr. Bob Letta.
Thanks for the introduction, Wayne. At Cenogenics, we help people look and feel many years younger. We've been in business since 1997. We have locations across the United States, and we've treated over 35,000 patients worldwide. Our age management medicine is proven to work. On the Cenogenics program, you will have your own doctor, exercise counselor, and nutritionist all working together to fine-tune plans especially for you.
Thank you, Dr. Letta. I'm 57 and I feel like I'm 30 again. I feel the best of my life. I have the most energy of my life. Are you ready to start feeling the best of your life? Defy your age with Cenogenics. Call now for your free consultation at 888-YOUNGER. That's toll-free 888-YOUNGER. Or go to Cenogenics.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent. If you are a spouse or a USAA member, you can get a reward of between $350 and $6,000 when you buy or sell your next home. This also applies to the children and grandchildren of current USAA members. Call Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker to learn more. He can be reached at 908-238-0118. That's 908-238-0118.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through Frontlines of Freedom or comment on Facebook. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Spartan Nash, and their military division, MDV. Spartan Nash is a Fortune 400 company and the fifth largest food distributor in our great country. They've been honored as a veteran-friendly employer with over 800 associates self-identifying as veterans, guardsmen, or reserves. And MDV is a leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries around the world. And in 2017, they were selected by the Defense Commissary Agency to be the exclusive supplier of the Freedom's Choice and home-based brands to our commissaries. Learn more or check out career opportunities at SpartanNash.com. Now it's time on Frontlines of Freedom for the fun part. Diane Raver is the founder of the Garden State Film Festival, and she's joining us again this month to review our movie of the month. For new listeners, every month we post a movie link on my website. It's in the blog section. We ask all listeners to review it, look at it, enjoy it, and I ask you to share your comments with me by sending them to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. So that's what we're up to. Welcome back, Diane. Glad to have you back on the show.
Well, thank you, Danny. Of course, it's always a great honor and privilege to be with you and to share these films, which mean so much to us here at the Garden State Film Festival.
Well, they're great films. This has been an education for me, just getting to know you and learning about film festivals. I thought I knew and didn't. Well, you had your annual film festival several months ago, and the next one is early next year. So,
well, it's March 28 through 31, 2019 in Asbury Park, New Jersey, and we welcome all your listeners to come and join us.
Do you have any sense of what it's going to look like at this point?
Well, the films are coming in from all over the world, and we're watching them as fast as we can. But, of course, we'll have a schedule somewhere in January.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Technical question. While
sure.
You're watching them, do you have to eat popcorn?
No. At my delicate age, I have to watch my waistline, sadly. So.
I understand. But, you know, we're not out of shape. Round is a shape. Anyway, let's not go there. That's my problem.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Our movie of the month is I'm Staying With My Boys. It's about a man who joined the Marines during World War II and received the Medal of Honor. But that's not the whole story by a long shot. Diane, give us a quick overview of it.
Well, it's a wonderful story of a New Jersey boy, John Bassalone, from the Marines, and it just tells, of course, another combat situation where he was put, you know, his comrade's life well before his own and was a hero. And for any of you that saw the movie, you can't just, I mean, we all fall in love with Sergeant Bassalone, and what a marvelous human being and a great inspiration to us all.
Truly he was. And you know, he started out by joining the Army, got out. When World War II started, he went back and joined the Marines, fell in love with what he was doing, felt he was called to be doing what he was doing, turned out to be not just a great soldier, but a great leader. And to me, the most, you know, you called him a hero, and indeed he is. And those of us who have been in combat are sometimes called heroes, and we don't really like being called that because this guy's a hero. But he's a hero by any standard you want, as often as you want to raise it up. But this guy goes through horrendous things, is awarded the Medal of Honor. And during World War II, we needed to raise money. People had to buy war bonds to keep us in the war so we could afford to stay in. And people like him were then put on war bonds tours to go around and speak. Well, that's a good deal. That beats the heck out of being shot at. But he couldn't stand being recognized for his heroism. He needed to quote the title of the book, I want to be with my boys. I'm staying with my boys. He wanted to go back to combat. I mean, that's a story you don't hear very often, and it's certainly the sign of somebody who is a leader down to his toenail.
Amen. And I'm very curious this month, Denny, to hear what the listeners, how they felt about this one, because, of course, it is one of my all-time favorites. And, you know, of course, I love documentaries, so I'm curious to hear what everybody said.
You know, that's a good point. This is a documentary. Some movies are not. Some movies take a true story and tell it in a different kind of way, and some things are totally fiction. This is, as Diane said, a documentary. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're reviewing the movie of the month, I'm Staying with My Boys, with Diane Raver. Okay, we talked about listener comments. Here's a few of them. It was interesting that he joined the Army, got out, and later joined the Marines. I wonder how many people did that.
That's a good question. Yeah. I've never heard of it before or since. Have you,
no.
Denny?
No, I know people that have done things like that, but in his particular case, and in, I guess in every case I know of, they were in the service and got out, and then a war started, whether it was the Vietnam War or the Korean War or the World War II, and they went back in, and sometimes in a different service. That's the best guess that I have at the moment. The next one was, he dropped out of school at age 15 and got a job at a time when there were hard to get jobs. Was that permitted back then? Well, this is in the 1930s.
Well, that's a depression. Everybody who could work, you know. I believe that was before working papers.
I suspect you're right.
Yeah.
And he knew he wasn't a good student. He didn't like, you know. I'm fond of saying that education is vitally important and everybody must stay involved in education. And occasionally it happens in classrooms. Well,
yes.
His education did not happen in classrooms, or not much of it.
Yeah. Someone also said to me, don't let your children's education interfere with your children's education, which is also good advice.
Extremely good.
Yeah.
Next one, he must have been quite young, maybe 16, when he joined the Army. How could that happen? Again, that was a time we weren't in World War II yet. Our military was quite small and was pretty hungry for anybody who wanted to join. There was no draft, so pretty much anybody. He was big and strong. He probably could have gotten in. There probably were some rules, but they probably weren't heavily enforced. That's my.
Well, I also know locally here that, you know, again, when families were in hardship, it was a way for someone in the family to not only go and learn a vocation or do something else, but possibly send vital resources back to their families. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Not only feeding and taking care of themselves, but generating
but also,
a few extra
bucks. But also, you know, sending money home to mom, you know?
Yes. Very good point.
So I believe that the military encouraged that just, you know, to help. It was dire. I mean, the Depression, everybody forgets now how bad the Depression was, but it was dire.
It was indeed. Next one, I never thought about the fact that when our Navy barged into the Japanese culture, the Japanese were offended, even though we brought them into the modern world. You know, that was my comment, too. I'm a pretty good study of history, and I know that our Navy basically barged into Japan in the early 1900s and brought them into the modern culture, and I sort of thought they were appreciative of it. It didn't occur to me.
Yeah, people don't like change in general, you know?
Particularly if you're in power.
Yes, exactly.
Another one was I had no idea that Japanese were so cruel. Well, lots of people are cruel, but yesterday the Japanese were. And he had Chesty Fuller as a role model. I knew good things about Chesty, but did some research after watching his movie. He was an awesome man. Yeah, Chesty Fuller was...
Well, let me just stop you there. Isn't that wonderful? Again, we started this program to have people think about things. Really, that makes me so happy that someone researched something. You know what I mean?
Yes, that was our goal, not to sell.
Wonderful
ideas.
Bravo to that listener.
Amen. So that's it. Diane, final thought?
I'm just looking forward to next month when we do Between Iraq and a Hard Place, because, of course, that brings up a lot of issues that are currently still a problem. So I look forward to it.
Amen, sister. Diane, thank you so much for taking time to join us and share with us today. Thank you for being a part of the Frontlines of Freedom team. I'm so proud you're on the team.
It's my great honor and privilege. Thank you very much, and a happy summer to all the listeners.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench and some good weights. Yeah, you should be ready about 100 pounds by now. Do 60 bench presses. I want you combat ready, then stand at ease. United American Patriots wants to spread the message of hope across the United States by providing service members that have been wrongfully accused of war crimes during overseas tours and combat area deployments with civilian attorneys at no cost to themselves or their families, to support them until they're released, and to get these heroes back to where they belong with their families. Check UnitedPatriots.org. That's UnitedPatriots.org.
Ready for a great day on the boat?
Oh, yeah. Hand me that cooler, will you?
Okay. That everything?
Food, sunscreen, tackle, bait, life jackets?
Nah, we won't need them.
Yeah, but I kind of promised my wife.
No, life jacket. That's a deal breaker, Robert.
Yeah, and I promised my daughter.
Come on, Daddy.
Hand me one of those life jackets, will you?
Yeah. This message brought to you by the National Safe Boating Council and the women who nag you. love you.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com. Please tune in to Living Consciously, where myself and my co-host will entertain you, inform you, and educate you in certain modalities. Living consciously is something that we really must learn to do, because that way you'll know what's going on around you. This show can be heard at 2 p.m. every Friday on huntertonchamberradio.com. Thank you.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, huntertonchamberradio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Caldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at Danny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first one?
Carl from Utah wrote that he's not sure he can trust anyone from the federal government anymore.
Does that sound funny?
Sorry, Michael. He just now got that impression. All right. If the FBI is as corrupt as it appears, what hope is there for our country?
Well, Carl, I share your concerns. I'm not sure why President Trump didn't remove many people from senior positions in the Department of Justice and the CIA and FBI. Many are clearly corrupt. On the other hand, I'm sure the majority of the field operators are the good people we expect in law enforcement.
Terry loves motorcycles and really enjoyed your interview with Trapper from Canada. He thanks you for having him on.
Terry, talking with Trapper was a lot of fun. He's a real leader and a guy who just can't stop helping people. Well, you know, gents, before we get to military history, the other day I was thinking about my time as a Mideast war planner at U.S. Readiness Command. While virtually all of the planners and operators in that headquarters were military folks, most of the secretaries and other administrative folks were civilians and were there for quite a long time. As in most places, if someone comes up with an idea that makes things safer or more efficient, they can submit the proposal, and if approved, there's a nice cash reward. Well, one of the secretaries was quite bright, and she knew that we military folks rotate every 2 to 4 years. So she wrote up and proposed a suggestion that if the outer door to the ladies' room swung out into the hallway instead of into the restroom, it would be safer for the ladies in the restroom. She got an award. 5 years later, she wrote up another proposal suggesting that the outer door to the ladies' room swung in instead of out into the hallway, then it would be safer for people in the hallway. She got another award for that. And while I was there, she again submitted the first proposal suggesting the door would be safer if it swung into the hallway. And again, ultimately, she got a cash reward. I only knew about this because I carpooled with a couple of secretaries who were laughing about it. Very clever, these civilians.
Now, I wonder what happened 5 years after that. Did she get, what, a fourth award?
We don't know. She might have retired and got to pass that.
With all that money, she's probably she's in Key West, you know, sipping those little umbrella drinks.
Very likely. Well, now it's time for military history. Lead out, Skip. What's first?
On 31 July 1777, the Marquis de Lafayette, a 19-year-old French nobleman, was made a major general in the American Continental Army.
Second lieutenant.
That's right.
On 1 August 1825, William Beaumont, a U.S. Army assistant surgeon at Fort Mackinac in Michigan Territory, began experiments to study the digestive system of Alexis St. Martin, a fur trader who was accidentally shot in the abdomen in 1822.
I wonder if his HMO covered that.
We'll have to check.
Okay. On 2 August 1909, what will become the U.S. Army Air Corps formed as the Army Signal Corps took first delivery from the Wright brothers?
Yep. Aviation started in the Signal Corps. And on 1 August 1942, during World War II, Ensign Henry White, while flying a J-4F Widgeon plane, sank U-166, a German submarine, as it approached the Mississippi River. That was the first U-boat sunk by the U.S. Coast Guard. In the summer of 1942, German submarines put saboteurs ashore on American beaches.
I bet Roland is proud of that one.
I'll bet he is.
On 1 August 1943, during World War II, a Japanese destroyer rammed American PT boat number 109, slicing it in two. Other PT boats that were in the area assumed the crew was dead. Two crewmen were killed, but 11 survived, including Lieutenant John Kennedy. Japanese aircraft had been on a PT boat hunt in the Solomon Islands, bombing the PT bait at Rendova Island. It was essential to the Japanese that several of their destroyers make it to the southern tip of the island to get war supplies to forces there, but the torpedo capacity of the American PTs was a potential threat. Despite the base bombing at Rendova, PTs set out to intercept those Japanese destroyers. In the midst of battle, Japan's Amakiri hit PT-109, leaving 11 crewmen floundering in the Pacific. After 5 hours of clinging to debris from the decimated PT boat, the crew made it to a coral island. Kennedy decided to swim out to sea again, hoping to flag down a passing American boat. None came. Kennedy began to swim back to shore, but strong currents and his chronic back condition made his return difficult. Upon reaching the island, he fell ill. After he recovered, the PT-109 crew swam to a larger island. They met up with two natives from the island who agreed to take a message south. Kennedy carved the distress message into a coconut shell. Nauru Island, native knows position. He can pilot. 11 alive need small boat. The message reached Lieutenant Arthur Evans, who was watching the coast of Gomu Island, located next to an island occupied by the Japanese. Kennedy and his crew were paddled to Gomu. A PT boat then took them back to Rendova. Kennedy was ultimately awarded the Navy and Marine Corps Medal. The coconut shell used to deliver this message found a place in history and in the Oval Office. PT-109, a film dramatizing this story, starring Cliff Robertson as Kennedy, opened in 1963.
He was a hero.
That's right. You saw that movie when it first came out. I saw it as a rerun.
Well, that's because you're just a kid.
That's right.
And on 3 August 1943, during World War II, General George Patton slapped a private at an army hospital in Sicily, accusing him of cowardice. Patton was later ordered by General Dwight Eisenhower to apologize for this and a second similar episode.
On 1 August 1957, the U.S. and Canada reached agreement to create the North American Air Defense Command.
And that's done a good job, at least tracking Santa Claus every winter.
And the next month, I was born.
Whoa, that's what they were getting
ready. The two are unrelated, though.
Maybe. And that's military history for today. Skip, it's time for the Armed America Report. What do you have?
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, a New Mexico burglary suspect will have plenty of time to sit and think about his actions, but it might not be very comfortable. After the bad guy broke into what was then an unoccupied house, someone came home. The resident noticed things were amiss and drew his gun before going inside, where he caught the thief in the act. The intruder pulled out a box cutter and lunged at the armed citizen, who fired once, hitting the stranger in the backside. Charges are pending.
Thanks, Colonel. Colonel, in my first reaction to this report was, how is he going to sit and think about it when he has a bullet hole in his buttocks?
Well, but it says he'd be uncomfortable doing it.
That's right. That may not be very comfortable for him. Okay, Colonel, so I did some more research on this, and here's what I found. The home invader was a 47-year-old homeless man named Michael Dunn. He definitely broke into the home and was in the process of several crimes. The man who shot him was sent to the unoccupied house to check on something for the owner. He saw something amiss and armed himself before going inside. Here are some of my observations. 1. If he suspected a burglary and that the criminal may still have been inside, why didn't he just back away and call 911? I think that would have been the safest thing to do, and then he never would have been forced to shoot the criminal. Shooting another person is a life-altering event, even if you survive and are later not charged with a crime, as was the case here. 2. The armed citizen discovered the home invader and then pursued him through the house, eventually cornering him. The criminal then put his hands in the air to surrender, but later had second thoughts and tried to escape. 3. The armed citizen thought he had things under control, but control is many times just an illusion. The criminal then lunged toward his captor, brandishing a box cutter. The shooter hit the homeless man on the head with his pistol and then tried to fire a warning shot to get him to back off. The criminal moved unexpectedly as the warning shot discharged and was accidentally hit in the tuchus.
Oops.
It's entertaining and educational. I think there are some good lessons to learn here. If you don't have to put yourself in harm's way, then by all means just back off and call the police. It would have been different if innocent people needed protecting, but the bad guy in this case was trying to get away. When a felon flees, just let him go. That's the wisest and safest choice. I think the outcome here was positive as well as entertaining. We have a bad guy in jail. He didn't die. And I think the armed citizen is probably all the wiser for what happened. At any rate, justice was served. And at least in this case, Lady Justice was poetic.
I love it. Our movie of the month this month is I'm Staying With My Boys. It's the story of a World War II hero. Please go to the Front Lines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link. You can watch it for free. We did just review it, but it'll be up till the end of the month. The book giveaway this week is Carol Averett's Coffin Corner Boys. To get in on the drawing, email me, denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com, and put Coffin Corner Boys in the subject line. Next week on Front Lines of Freedom, we'll meet the Master Chief Petty Officer of the U.S. Coast Guard, Jason Vanderhaden. We'll also talk with retired Marine General and U.S. Congressman Jack Bergman. You're going to enjoy these two interviews.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Front Lines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Join me next week for military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.
Spartan Ash holds a special place in its heart for Honor and Remember. As a national partner with Honor and Remember, Spartan Ash is deeply committed to never forgetting those who paid the ultimate price in service to our country.
The Honor and Remember flag serves as a symbol of remembrance, and Spartan Ash flies the Honor and Remember flag at all facilities. The flag artwork is on our fleet of tractor trailers, which travel nearly 67 million miles each year.
Learn more at SpartanAsh.com and HonorandRemember.org.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
Pick up two tubes of Dogosuds.
Get the third tube free.
Peppermint, tea tree, lavender, Dogosud shampoo.
Made with all-natural coconut, jojoba, aloe. Great for healthy skin and soft, shiny coats.
But no itchy, harsh chemicals.
Lather up, rinse away.
Try Dogosuds. Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
The court-ordered deadline to reunite all eligible families that were separated at the U.S.-Mexico border has come and gone. Still, though, some children are separated from their parents. Homeland Security Secretary Kirsten Nelson explains why.
We want to protect the children. So the reason that that number is remaining is either because we had no way to prove that the adult that they arrived with is a parent or guardian, and we continue to work with consulates and others to get information to understand if they are. But also some of these adults, unfortunately, are hardened criminals. And we're not going to place children at the hands of those who have already been convicted in some cases of kidnapping, of child abuse, of smuggling and trafficking.
White House Chief of Staff John Kelly is expected to stay on through the 2020 election. If Kelly does indeed stay on through the 2020 election, he will be one of the longest-serving chiefs of staff in recent history. This is USA Radio News.
When posting on most job sites, you get candidates.
I'm the sales director.
I'm the sales director you're looking for.
But when you post on Indeed.com, you get the candidates just right for you.
I'm a sales director with an MBA, over 10 years experience, who's also fluent in Japanese.
With Indeed, you can add screener questions for a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates.
Arigato.
Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
Your car's engine deals with pressures that can cause intense friction that can
waste up to 10% of engine performance.
Power up with Castrol Edge with fluid titanium technology. It's 3 times stronger than leading oils against viscosity breakdown. Buy 5 quarts of Castrol Edge and a Purolator Boss filter for $32.99 at Advance or participating CarQuest auto parts stores. 3 times stronger based on Kurt Orban test. 5W30 does great.
Americans were a bit more confident about the economy in July, but their expectations for the future dimmed a bit. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details.
The business research group, the Conference Board, saying its consumer confidence index rose slightly from 127.1 in June to 127.4 for July. The index measures both consumers' assessments of current economic conditions and expectations for the future. The view of current conditions in July, the rosiest since March of 2001. But the board says consumer expectations for the next 6 months dropped for the second straight month to the lowest reading since December. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Facebook removed 32 accounts because they were involved in coordinated political behavior and appeared to be fake. Facebook did stop short